from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The Clark Falcons report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mark Zeno is hanging out today. People are tripping out over your story, Mark. I'm just glad that things have gotten fixed. Crazy.
I got to give some shout out to Brandon at Mints 284 on X. He sent me the straight out of Compton clip. Should have kept your word, Brian.
Exactly. That's what I said. All right, Ice Cube. We have got a lot more to get to. Coming up, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley. Braves back in action tonight. The real question, by the way, as we start the second half, you know, we're not talking about Sale because I think the rotation is solid. Ronaldo Lopez has been great. Can they keep up the pace? I think they can. The bullpen's been solid. I just need this offense to come along. And I've been telling you guys for, 4 months now that this offense hasn't been what it needs to be. And everybody said, be patient, be patient, be patient. Okay, I did. July 1st, I'm still patient. But that's what's got to happen in the second half. We're going to talk with Grant coming up and get his thoughts if that can take off for us, because I think that's also going to dictate whether or not you go all in on a particular move before the trade deadline, which, by the way, for me, I'm not doing anything. I think these guys are going to come around, and I think the offense comes back. Harris comes back. All the things that we expect to see from whether it be Riley or Olsen. And I think that is why you don't go crazy at the trade deadline. We'll get into it coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about the Falcons next week, Wednesday, the start of training camp, and all of our shows, Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, we will be at training camp as well. Then we're doing the show at Hooters Mall of Georgia on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So come on out and hang out with us. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys as always. If you don't make plans this week, we'll be back out there the following week. I think Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, the Falcons do a practice Friday, August 2nd, down at Mercedes-Benz. We'll be down there for that. So there'll be a lot going on leading into preseason. But what are your expectations right now before we head to camp with what you know about this football team? You gave us some great prop bets last hour talking about the potential of over-unders and individual performances. What's your expectation right now for this team?
10 wins, win the division, and an offense that finishes top 10 in points scored this year. Those are non-negotiables.
What was the last one?
Offense that finishes in top 10 in points scored. Non-negotiable.
What's that number? 26 points a game? 24 and a half? Okay, 24 and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's about right. I really do. I'd love to see him put up 30, but if we're scoring 30 a game, then we are doing something special. But I'm with you. 24, 20.
Let's see, the top 10 teams last year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 23.3, 23 and a half was at 10. So, I mean, they should be at 24 points a game.
I agree with that.
So, if they don't do that, I would deem this season a disappointing season.
Is there any one thing you absolutely have to see from any one particular player as we get ready for camp next week? Is there any one thing that you absolutely have to see from any particular player?
Yeah.
Who?
Kyle Pitts has to be healthy and productive. Otherwise, you will forever be the franchise that was dumb enough to take a tight end at 4. Plain and simple. It's a bad pick. It was a bad pick then. It's a bad pick now. But the fact that you're getting next to nothing production out of
it makes it worse.
With this quarterback,
it makes it worse.
With this offense and this many weapons, if he can't be productive, and I'm not going to sit here and cap numbers because
we don't know how this is going to shake out.
Right.
No, I agree.
There's only one football, right? So it's hard to get everybody to the ball.
It is. But I will tell you, though, that if you are a difference maker, when your opportunities come, sometimes it's just not about, you know, how many targets you got.
Right.
Sometimes you turn nothing into something.
I mean, his rookie year, I think 60% of his catches were for first downs.
Yeah.
Something in that number. I'd have to go back and look at
Correct.
It.
Correct. Move the chains. Those are the kind of things that I'm talking
matter.
About. Yes.
Right. So it's not always all about yards and touchdowns, per se.
How are you affecting the game? The last two seasons, he hasn't.
No.
And that is part of the discussion. I think he is going into this camp, and it's just me that has the most pressure on him. We can talk about Drake. I know what Drake's going to do. We can talk about Bijan. I know what Bijan's going to do. I think for Pitts, coming off these injuries, he is the guy that's got it produced. 404-726-0929. While we're talking about players and what's going to happen with the Falcons, Pro Football Focus came out with their top 50 players in the league. 31 to 50 have already been unveiled. Jesse Bates and Chris Lindstrom showed up at 37 and 38. You have an issue with that? You think they're
right.
Higher than that?
I mean, there's an argument for Bates being
higher.
A top five safety in this league.
But people think Lindstrom is, if not the best guard, maybe the second best guard in the league. That's how people feel about Chris Lindstrom.
Well, you got to remember, look, in the top 25, it's going to be all quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, right?
True.
Like, you know, that's just the way the league. There'll be five defensive players in the top 25. That's about it.
Yeah, I think when I look at Bates, just based on what he did and his impact last year, again, affecting the game, I would probably have him higher. But to your point, it is going to be those players that you're talking about. The quarterbacks, the Tyreek Hills of the world, those guys are going to be in the top 10 more likely when it's all said and done. Guys, by the way, follow us on social media. It's Dukes and Bell 929. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow Mark Zeno. Zeno, give him your social media.
At Mark Zeno, MarkZinno.
And you can follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk about what happened today at the Open Championship. Lots of brand names not going to participate over the weekend. And probably the biggest one says, you know what? He's not ready to give up. And some people say it's time. We'll get into that as part of our strong arm story of the day, and we'll talk more Braves coming up with Grant McCauley. As we talk about the Falcons, though, and going into this season, does it concern you that Zach Robinson is a first-time play caller? Is that a concern for you? Because I've gotten that from some guys, even though I pumped it up and said, listen, I'm not concerned about that. I think we're at a point in time in this league where you have been in those rooms for Zach Robinson. He's, you know, worked hand-in-hand with Sean McVay. I'm not necessarily concerned about that. But then some guys say, well, listen, he's not calling the plays. So how does that affect him coming here now calling the plays?
If you have the quarterback, that's right. I'm not sure that play calling is all that. I mean,
ask Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
You're right.
I mean,
you're right.
It's easy to call plays for Aaron Rodgers. It's not so easy to call plays for Russell Wilson or whoever he was doing it for, whatever that whole mess was. But, so I don't worry about that as much. And not only that, look, Zach Robinson is bringing a system here that Kirk Cousins is very familiar with.
I agree.
Kevin O'Connell came from the same system. That's who he was coaching over in Minnesota. So it's not like this is new to him. He knows this system the back of his hand. Guys, all this was planned out for a reason, right? It was Kirk they were going after. It was Zach Robinson who was going to be part of the staff.
Mm.
You know, all this was laid out ahead of time wisely by Terry Fontenot and company. So I don't have too many concerns about Zach Robinson. If Cousins has a bad year, it's because Cousins had a bad year, and I'm not sure it has anything really to do with the system or the play calling.
I agree, and I think Jimmy Lake's going to do a good job as a DC. I know people are saying Ryan Nielsen, you know, oh, look at the job. I think Jimmy Lake's going to step in and do a really good job. The thing that is the question mark, Zeno, are these pieces on defense. I think we're younger and more athletic and bigger but that's the question.
Listen, there's a part of the logic here that turns around and says, just win games 31-30, and who cares? If you go 10-7 and you score 31 a game, but you allow 28 a game, I don't care. Because you didn't build this team around defense. You built this team around offense. So my expectations for the defense are very small. Just don't put your offense in bad positions. Don't get down 21-0 in the blink of an eye in a game, right? You can't allow teams in the first drive of the game to walk down the field and score. Stuff like that matters. Because when your offense is this good, let them play with a lead. That's the only thing. Like, if I would put all my energy in not letting them score a touchdown. I want to be that team that says, Falcons haven't given up a first drive touchdown in the last 8 weeks. Yeah. That's the stat I want to see in the middle of the season, because this offense should score more often than not when they touch the ball and put themselves in positions to always play with a lead, or at least never in a negative game script. And that is, I think, what's more important. So I'm not too overhyped or overworried or overfocused on the defense. If they're good, great. It's going to be an added plus. But if they're just average, that's all they got to do, Dukes, is be average. If they could just be average, they'll be fine.
And I think they will be. You guys can let us know what you think. Wednesday, camp starts.
Can't wait.
He says he's not retiring. I'm not going anywhere. But he says that he hasn't had the time to practice like he wants, but he did do something that he did not think that he might be able to do this year. We'll tell you all about what he said, where he's at, and why it's a big deal. Coming up as part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
What's it look like at the Open Championship? Who's going home? Who's not? It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno in for Mike today, and Shane Lowry is leading the leaderboard, top of the leaderboard, 7-under. Justin Rose is at 5-under. Daniel Brown, 5-under. And then you get to Scottie Scheffler at 2-under, and there are a bunch of guys, Billy Horschel, Patrick Cantlay, 1-under. Course is tough, guys. It's Royal Troon.
I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. Everybody holding up 10s as their scores. Because that's what it looked like. Plus 10 for everybody.
The cut was 6. Actually, 7. Yeah, so the cut was plus 6. And that means Tiger Woods did not make it. So let's discuss this for a second. Because when we came in today, you were pretty adamant. You were like, why doesn't he just retire? So I want you to hear what he said after his round today. Tiger is going home, but he's not the only one. There's a bunch of brand names that are going home from the Open Championship. But your expectations, maybe my expectations, maybe even Tiger's expectations, have just been too much. He shot a 77 today after 79 in the first round. And I said to you, Zeno, I just hope that moving forward, because he's going to continue to play these majors, he's not retiring, guys, he's not going to quit, that he just comes in and says, listen, I'm going to do the best I can. Problem is, he's won so much in his life, and he set the bar so high that I don't think he can do that. If he's playing, he's like, well, of course I can win this thing. Why wouldn't I? Here's Tiger today after shooting a 77.
Never really hit it close enough to make birdies, and consequently made a lot of bogeys.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have played more, but I just wanted to make sure that I was able to play the major championships this year. I got a lot of time off to get better, to be better physically, which has been the case all year. I've gotten better, even though my results really haven't shown it. But physically, I've gotten better, which is great. And so just need to keep progressing like that, and then eventually start playing more competitively and start getting into kind of the competitive flow again. I've always loved playing major championships. I just wish I was more physically and sharp coming into the majors. Obviously, it tests you mentally, physically, emotionally, and I just wasn't as sharp as I needed to be, and I was hoping that I would find it somehow, but she never did. And consequently, my results and scores were pretty high.
Tiger is 48. He's not 68. Tiger has earned the right to compete in three of the four major championships via his previous victories. So the U.S. Golf Association gave him an exemption this year for the U.S. Open, and they will continue to. With that said, this is why you can expect for him to be continuing to play in these major championships and these major tournaments.
Do you know what I just heard when he was talking?
What's that?
Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah.
Excuses?
Dude. Like, you're Tiger Woods. I get it. I understand it's hard to walk away. But it's not fun watching you go up there and put these numbers up. Like, no one's enjoying this. How are you still enjoying it? I mean, you get the applause when you step on the first tee, and the morons yell, get in the hole. But after that, it's all downhill. What does he get out? The only he can answer the question. What does he get out of doing this when he's not competitive? Like, it's not even close to being competitive. He's missed seven of the last eight cuts.
That's it. And that's the part. Now, why is the reason? We know the why, right? We know the why. The why is the body. And he said, right. I felt like I got stronger.
It's justifiable to walk away. No one's mad.
No, I don't think anybody would say anything if he said, hey, I'm going to call it quits. But why, when you can
still... People remember how you leave. But they remember how it ends.
But why would you, when you can still play? I get it. I just think the expectation is the issue with where he's at. And I mentioned this earlier. It's Dukes and Bell. The 2021 car crash, no excuses. Things happen. It is what it is. But they almost took his leg. And, yeah. and that part of it, he goes from 2019 winning the Masters to people feeling like, okay, he's going to be competitive here in the second part of his life, and maybe he does get to the 18 or 19 or 20 majors. He's at 15. And then that happens. And so the working his way back to that or from that has been a part of this. And, Zeno, it's funny. I was watching the tournament on day one, on Thursday, a little bit of it. And like the broadcaster's like, he's walking great, isn't he? Like, they're paying attention to every little thing with his body, and we know that it's not ever going to be what it was. He's had too many surgeries, too many things that have happened. But he can still hit the ball, and he can still play. The problem is he can't practice like he once did, and that is just taking away. You can't just – guys, you don't show up at these majors and just play out of your mind. The culmination of 2019 when he got to the Masters, part of that was him winning here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting there, right, going into the Masters, like there were things that happened where you felt like his game was coming back and it was going to be good. I don't feel that way. So I hear you. I just don't think he's going to step away.
I don't understand. Again, I don't understand. He hasn't articulated what he's still getting out of this. He's clearly not going to catch Jack, right? So that dream is over.
Three more majors, 18, right? Yeah. No. Yeah.
He's not going to catch Jack.
just not physically, he's not able to do it. If he gets one more, it would be nothing short of a miracle at this point.
Agreed.
Because clearly his body has proven that he can't handle four rounds of golf. That's the hard part. It's one thing to make the cut. It's another thing to do it for another 36 holes and still be competitive. So, again, his legacy is fine. We're not going to ever, but people are going to remember, man, it ended bad. It ended bad. Like, there's going to be that little, yeah.
But do you look at it that way, Zeno, when you know that this guy's body is not the same? Like, I look at guys who had injuries at the end of their careers, who had great careers.
Just walk away when your body gives up on you.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from what they've accomplished. Like, I don't
know. That's what I'm saying. His legacy is fine. Like, but you're just going to remember. It was kind of bad at the end, man. It was almost to the point of embarrassing.
You guys want to see him give it up?
Yes.
404-726-0929. Text us, let us know. Hit us up on social media as well. Should you just call it quits? He could retire at any point. I just think he needs to lower the expectations. That's kind of where I'm at with the whole Tiger Woods thing. By the way, other guys that are going home, and Zeno and I were talking about this, the cut line, again, was +6. So for Saturday, Sunday, if you're checking it out and watching, you're not going to see Keegan Bradley. You're not going to see Will Zalatoris. You're not going to see who am I thinking of? Oh, Zach Johnson. You're not going to see, obviously, Tiger or Rory or Bryson DeChambeau, +9. See, for me, that's an issue. He just won a major. You come to the Open Championship, and you're +9, and you don't make the cut. Tiger's on one leg and has a reason why, at least to maybe why he's not playing up to his level. What's Bryson's excuse? Like, that's the thing that you go, golf is a crazy game, man. It just is. And then you're going to not see Tony Finau and some of the other stars, but a lot of guys, Victor Hovland, a lot of guys that you might recognize, not going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. All right, want to hear from you guys, 404-726-0929. You can let us know what you think. It's one of those stories, because every time he plays, Zeno, everybody goes, and I think he birdied the first hole on Thursday. I want to say it was the first or second hole. And everybody's like, oh, my God, Tiger Woods. And then it was all downhill. All downhill.
That's what I said. Everything after that first swing off the tee doesn't go in a positive direction.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about our Braves. What should they do, if anything? I say nothing. We'll ask Grant this question as we get back to work tonight against the Cardinals. I think the big question for the Braves moving forward is everything that you feel good about will continue to work. The rotation, the bullpen. But what about the bats? And that's really the big question as we start the second half. I've been asking this question for weeks now. You think this is a World Series team? Do you think this is a World Series team?
No. Not at all. I don't think they're an NL championship team.
Playoff team?
Playoff team, yes.
Not a World Series team.
Yeah.
Which means they got something that they need to add something. We're going to talk to Grant coming up as part of going around the yard here on Dukes and Bell. All right. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, our conversation with Bryant McFadden, all things covered. Great NFL conversation with him about not only the Falcons, but other things that are going on around the league. Stay right there. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, we're in second in the NL East, 53-42. Second half of the season starts at 60-some-odd games. Guys, it's not really second half, but we are calling it that after the All-Star break. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today, and the Cards are in town. Then we get the Reds, and then we head to New York. Grant McCauley is here. Grant, before we talk about this team, how was your break, man? You get some R&R?
Yeah, it was good. Very nice. Was able to get out of town for a few days. Went up to Helen with my wife. We took our dogs and just kind of got to do normal people stuff with no baseball schedule. But I am excited for the second half and from the amount of Braves I talked to this afternoon. And it was kind of getting the feel of everybody getting back into it. They are anticipating what's ahead.
What's up, Grant? Zeno here.
Hey, buddy.
Good to see you. Good to hear from you,
I should
say.
Good to talk to you.
That too, yeah. You know, first time I've ever heard you say the phrase, my wife, my wife this, my wife has an inner ear infection. It's a wonderful way to begin a sentence.
Oh, I'm very proud of that. Not so much the inner ear infection, but I'm excited about all the difference. Other things that we're doing. Right.
All right.
I got you.
Level of confidence at this point in time. You know, Carl and I both agree that at the deadline, honestly, I wouldn't do anything. I don't know that there's much you can do, but while this might not be a World Series team, they're good enough to be a playoff team, and that gives you a chance. So where do you sit on this?
Yeah, I really do think that there are areas and opportunities to improve, and I don't think Alex Anthopoulos has ever really shied away from that. And outside of the 2020 trade deadline that, I mean, Major League Baseball, everything in sports was a bit of a mess that year, and so there wasn't a whole lot of buying that went on that strengthened this club. But every other year, he's just gone out and tried to find a way to at least add to it, whether that was an arm or two in the bullpen the way he did last year, whether it was having to rebuild your outfield like he did in 2021. And I hate to bring that up and just say, well, you know, you can go out at the trade deadline and make all the deals that turn you into a World Series winner. Obviously, that's the outlier, a 1 in 30 chance every year, I guess if we're breaking it down to brass tacks, that you'll be the last club standing. But the Braves, I think from a talent perspective of what they have on the roster right now, from the strength of their pitching staff, which I would make an argument that you could add to make it perhaps even better than it is if you want to go that route in a trade, or you can do the standard thing, which is get healthy, get Michael Harris back in your mix, and maybe see if there is that outfielder out there that could move the needle for you. So while you could make a case that this Braves club is on paper a talented enough team to get to the playoffs, yes, that is true. But I feel like there is work to be done, and Alex Anthopoulos is a GM that does not shy away from that work and always is looking for those ways to make the club at least that much better.
We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys, going around the yard. Braves back in action against the Cards tonight. As we talk about, you know, what needs to happen in the second half, I think the main thing is about what we can control, right? That's Riley, yep. That's Olson, that's guys doing the things that they need to do to get right. And I've been saying part of the reason why I don't want to necessarily do anything is because I feel like that's going to happen. I don't know, you know, what Harris is and when he gets back and how that's going to look, but if that does play out, Grant, I mean, why would you give up, in my opinion, trade assets and take on money if you didn't have to, knowing that these guys could come alive?
Well, I think that it can be both, and I think that it kind of needs to be both on top of that. I mean, Austin Riley has shown a lot in the past month about his ability to turn his season around. For Matt Olson, and I got to hear from both of these guys today before the game, you know, everybody understands the opportunity that they had to go home, rest, recharge, reset. And they also know that the 60 or so games ahead of them give them more opportunity, and they've got to be focused on that and not be, you know, stuck in what they can't change, which is the 95 games they've already played. I think for Matt Olson, he's been carrying that a little bit more than just about anybody on this club when you consider who he is, what he did a year ago, what's expected of him, both by himself and, you know, what the team needs for him to do. It hasn't been that year for him, but he has also shown an incredible ability to get hot and to carry a club for a while, and I still think that could happen. But to kind of go back to the trade question, why would you do that? Because I feel like you kind of owe it to yourself in a championship window to go out and find ways to get better. And when you lose a Ronald Acuna Jr. and you lose a Spencer Strider and you still have a club that goes out there and fights, I feel like you kind of want to send a message to them that, hey, we will go get the reinforcements that we need, but we also have to have guys step up and do their thing. And I think they've been keenly aware of that for a while. There's been a lot of pressing that's gone on over the past couple of months to compound matters at the plate. But maybe this reset, this second half, this little stretch that they're about to have, starting with the Cardinals and the Reds, then the Mets, then the Brewers leading up to the trade deadline, all clubs that are eyeing October, the Braves have to measure up against that. And everybody, I think, is kind of trying to figure out who they are and what they are in the next couple of weeks if you're in the wild card race behind teams like the Braves and the Cardinals.
Grant, most moves are not made in a vacuum, right? They're not made just to satisfy the here and now. There's always second and third order effects. So I'm curious where you stand on the moves that they make pertaining to what the roster would look like next year and going forward. How much would you, if you were playing GM, or how much do you think Alex will take that into account? Or is it just about, hey, I'll worry about that next year. I'll worry about it in the offseason. Right now, all I care about is this year and trying to win a World Series.
There is always an eye on the future, and Alex Anthopoulos has said this, like our priority is 2024. But you do want to have a bigger term, longer term picture. And I think you see that based on the amount of extensions that the Braves have signed to keep this core together for a while. They want to continue this window and keep it going. I feel like if you have an opportunity to make your club that much better and win a World Series, you owe it to yourself to go out there and try and to do everything that you can. And that's not going to force other clubs to give you their best players for nothing. You're going to have to weigh that out and figure it out. But I think that a lot of people look at the Braves farm system and think, oh, well, it's not in the top five or top 10 anymore. There's nothing there. I would caution you against thinking that, because I do think there are some very worthwhile prospects there. And then start unpacking what it is that Alex Anthopoulos has given to do some of the big trades that he has done, whether that was Matt Olson, whether that was all of the outfielders they got in 2021, the Chris Sale trade, Jared Kelnick. I mean, this is somebody who is creative and motivated, and typically when he pulls off a trade, he is, you know, and his team, his whole front office, has evaluated that thing and feels like it is worth the price that they're paying. And I think that when you're a club in your championship window, to make a long story as short as I can, you owe it to yourself to go out and creatively try to solve these problems and help your club become the best that it can be, because next season's not promised. If you got that opportunity this year, I feel like you have to reach out and try to grab that.
Is the most daunting part of the season in front of us? I'm curious to know what you think about the schedule. I'm looking at this road trip, all right, because we're at home for a minute. But I'm getting past the All-Star, or not the All-Star, but the trade deadline, and I'm getting to early August. And I'll just tell you, three at Colorado, four at San Francisco, three against the Angels, I get it, and then you come home and you play the Phillies, and we only have seven games left. I'm just looking at the schedule. Is that the most daunting part, even though you may not think those teams, you know, Milwaukee's really good, obviously, before we go on the road, but I'm just looking at that, Grant, and going, okay, that's going to be tough to manage, and then you come home to take on the Phillies. I don't know if that's the toughest stretch of the season, simply based on the fact that you're on the road that long.
Well, I think the next couple are about as stressful as they can be, or as important and pivotal as they can be, because you are facing clubs that all have at least wild card aspirations, and then you throw the Brewers into that mix, and they are leading the National League Central and clearly have the playoffs in their sights. So all of this is going to, I think, inform the decisions of a lot of different clubs over the next 10, 12 days as to who exactly and what exactly they are heading into the trade deadline. Because as I've talked about a lot, and I don't know if this is the exact question, but this is just the thing that keeps recurring and occurring to me, is who is going to be available? What clubs are going to be doing the selling?
Right.
Which ones are going to stand pat? And which ones are going to decide, hey, surprise, we're buying? And that affects you by taking players and assets away from a team like the Braves if they can't get those deals done and those guys go somewhere else, even if that club's not in as good a position as the Braves. So there's a lot to balance here. But as far as the schedule is concerned, this next couple of weeks is going to be very telling for the Braves to try to maintain some momentum they took into the All-Star break, to find some of their best baseball, to get some guys going, maybe to get a Michael Harris back in the mix over the next couple of weeks. All of those could be things that would help the Braves really head into the second half and the 67 games to go with their literal best foot forward to put themselves in the position they need to as they try to hold on to their wild card spot, but maybe make that run at the National League East, because they do have the seven head-to-head against the Phillies that is still out there in front of them.
Grant, if the moves are only peripheral, right, that they get at the deadline.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, we're in second in the NL East, 53-42. Second half of the season starts at 60-some-odd games. Guys, it's not really second half, but we are calling it that after the All-Star break. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today, and the Cards are in town. Then we get the Reds, and then we head to New York. Grant McCauley is here. Grant, before we talk about this team, how was your break, man? You get some R&R?
Yeah, it was good. Very nice. Was able to get out of town for a few days. Went up to Helen with my wife. We took our dogs and just kind of got to do normal people stuff with no baseball schedule. But I am excited for the second half and from the amount of Braves I talked to this afternoon. And it was kind of getting the feel of everybody getting back into it. They are anticipating what's ahead.
What's up, Grant? Zeno here.
Hey, buddy.
Good to see you. Good to hear from you,
well,
I should
good
say.
To talk to you.
That
yeah,
too, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's first time I've ever heard you say the phrase, my wife has an inner ear infection. It's a wonderful way to begin a sentence.
Oh, I'm very proud of that. Not so much the inner ear infection, but I'm excited about all the
reference.
Other things that we're doing. Right.
All right.
I got you.
Level of confidence at this point in time. You know, Carl and I both agree that at the deadline, honestly, I wouldn't do anything. I don't know that there's much you can do, but while this might not be a World Series team, they're good enough to be a playoff team, and that gives you a chance. So where do you sit on this?
Yeah, I really do think that there are areas and opportunities to improve, and I don't think Alex Anthopoulos has ever really shied away from that. And outside of the 2020 trade deadline that, I mean, Major League Baseball, everything in sports was a bit of a mess that year, and so there wasn't a whole lot of buying that went on that strengthened this club. But every other year, he's just gone out and tried to find a way to at least add to it, whether that was an arm or two in the bullpen the way he did last year, whether it was having to rebuild your outfield like he did in 2021. And I hate to bring that up and just say, well, you know, you can go out of the trade deadline and make all the deals that turn you into a World Series winner. Obviously, that's the outlier, a 1 in 30 chance every year, I guess if we're breaking it down to brass tacks, that you'll be the last club standing. But the Braves, I think from a talent perspective of what they have on the roster right now, from the strength of their pitching staff, which I would make an argument that you could add to make it perhaps even better than it is if you want to go that route in a trade, or you can do the standard thing, which is get healthy, get Michael Harris back in your mix, and maybe see if there is that outfielder out there that could move the needle for you. So while you could make a case that this Braves club is on paper a talented enough team to get to the playoffs, yes, that is true. But I feel like there is work to be done, and Alex Anthopoulos is a GM that does not shy away from that work and always is looking for those ways to make the club at least that much better.
We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys, going around the yard. Braves back in action against the Cards tonight. As we talk about, you know, what needs to happen in the second half, I think the main thing is about what we can control, right? That's Riley, yep. That's Olson. That's guys doing the things that they need to do to get right. And I've been saying part of the reason why I don't want to necessarily do anything is because I feel like that's going to happen. I don't know, you know, what Harris is and when he gets back and how that's going to look. But if that does play out, Grant, I mean, why would you give up, in my opinion, trade assets and take on money if you didn't have to, knowing that these guys could come alive?
Well, I think that it can be both, and I think that it kind of needs to be both on top of that. I mean, Austin Riley has shown a lot in the past month about his ability to turn his season around. For Matt Olson, and I got to hear from both of these guys today before the game, you know, everybody understands the opportunity that they had to go home, rest, recharge, reset, and they also know that the 60 or so games ahead of them give them more opportunity, and they've got to be focused on that and not be, you know, stuck in what they can't change, which is the 95 games they've already played. I think for Matt Olson, he's been carrying that a little bit more than just about anybody on this club when you consider who he is, what he did a year ago, what's expected of him, both by himself and, you know, what the team needs for him to do. It hasn't been that year for him, but he has also shown an incredible ability to get hot and to carry a club for a while, and I still think that could happen. But to kind of go back to the trade question, why would you do that? Because I feel like you kind of owe it to yourself in a championship window to go out and find ways to get better. And when you lose a Ronald Acuna Jr. and you lose a Spencer Strider and you still have a club that goes out there and fights, I feel like you kind of want to send a message to them that, hey, we will go get the reinforcements that we need, but we also have to have guys step up and do their thing. And I think they've been keenly aware of that for a while. There's been a lot of pressing that's gone on over the past couple of months to compound matters at the plate. But maybe this reset, this second half, this little stretch that they're about to have, starting with the Cardinals, then the Reds, then the Mets, then the Brewers leading up to the trade deadline, all clubs that are eyeing October, the Braves have to measure up against that. And everybody, I think, is kind of trying to figure out who they are and what they are in the next couple of weeks if you're in the wild card race behind teams like the Braves and the Cardinals.
Grant, most moves are not made in a vacuum, right? They're not made just to satisfy the here and now. There's always second and third order effects. So I'm curious where you stand on the moves that they make pertaining to what the roster would look like next year and going forward. How much would you, if you were playing GM, or how much do you think Alex will take that into account? Or is it just about, hey, I'll worry about that next year. I'll worry about it in the offseason. Right now, all I care about is this year and trying to win a World Series.
There is always an eye on the future, and Alex Anthopoulos has said this, like, our priority is 2024. But you do want to have a bigger term, longer term picture. And I think you see that based on the amount of extensions that the Braves have signed to keep this core together for a while. They want to continue this window and keep it going. I feel like if you have an opportunity to make your club that much better and win a World Series, you owe it to yourself to go out there and try and to do everything that you can. And that's not going to force other clubs to give you their best players for nothing. You're going to have to weigh that out and figure it out. But I think that a lot of people look at the Braves farm system and think, oh, well, it's not in the top five or top 10 anymore. There's nothing there. I would caution you against thinking that, because I do think there are some very worthwhile prospects there. And then start unpacking what it is that Alex Anthopoulos has given to do some of the big trades that he has done, whether that was Matt Olson, whether that was all of the outfielders they got in 2021, the Chris Sale trade, Jared Kelnick. I mean, this is somebody who is creative and motivated, and typically when he pulls off a trade, he is, you know, and his team, his whole front office, has evaluated that thing and feels like it is worth the price that they're paying. And I think that when you're a club in your championship window, to make a long story short as I can, you owe it to yourself to go out and creatively try to solve these problems and help your club become the best that it can be, because next season's not promised. If you got that opportunity this year, I feel like you have to reach out and try to grab that.
Is the most daunting part of the season in front of us? I'm curious to know what you think about the schedule. I'm looking at this road trip, all right, because we're at home for a minute. But I'm getting past the All-Star, or not the All-Star, but the trade deadline, and I'm getting to early August. And I'll just tell you, three at Colorado, four at San Francisco, three against the Angels, I get it, and then you come home and you play the Phillies, and we only have seven games left. I'm just looking at the schedule. Is that the most daunting part, even though you may not think those teams, you know, Milwaukee's really good, obviously, before we go on the road, but I'm just looking at that, Grant, and going, okay, that's going to be tough to manage, and then you come home to take on the Phillies. I don't know if that's the toughest stretch of the season, simply based on the fact that you're on the road that long.
Well, I think the next couple are about as stressful as they can be, or as important and pivotal as they can be, because you are facing clubs that all have at least wild card aspirations, and then you throw the Brewers into that mix, and they are leading the National League Central and clearly have the playoffs in their sights. So all of this is going to, I think, inform the decisions of a lot of different clubs over the next 10, 12 days as to who exactly and what exactly they are heading into the trade deadline. Because as I've talked about a lot, and I don't know if this is the exact question, but this is just the thing that keeps recurring and occurring to me, is who is going to be available? What clubs are going to be doing the selling?
Right.
Which ones are going to stand pat? And which ones are going to decide, hey, surprise, we're buying? And that affects you by taking players and assets away from a team like the Braves if they can't get those deals done and those guys go somewhere else, even if that club's not in as good a position as the Braves. So there's a lot to balance here. But as far as the schedule is concerned, this next couple of weeks is going to be very telling for the Braves to try to maintain some momentum they took into the All-Star break, to find some of their best baseball, to get some guys going, maybe to get a Michael Harris back in the mix over the next couple of weeks. All of those could be things that would help the Braves really head into the second half and the 67 games to go with their literal best foot forward to put themselves in the position they need to as they try to hold on to their wild card spot, but maybe make that run at the National League East, because they do have the seven head-to-head against the Phillies that is still out there in front of them.
Grant, if the moves are only peripheral, right, that they get at the deadline, what's the ceiling for this team? I mean, look, objectively, I don't think they're a World Series team right now. I don't think they're better than the Phillies. I don't think they're better than the Dodgers and
Yankees.
You know, that's only in the National League. Forget about the American League with teams they might not be better than. So what's, if the moves are only peripheral, what's your ceiling for this team?
Well, I mean, look at who went to the World Series last year. Would you say that the Rangers and the Diamondbacks came into the postseason as the two best clubs in baseball?
No.
No, but they ended up playing each other in the World Series, and that's the crazy thing about it, is you have to go out there and play these games. And as much as we can, you know, kind of armchair quarterback or armchair GM, what exactly it is that they have or don't have, what they need to do, what they don't do, and grade all the trades as soon as they happen, ultimately, you know, it all happens on the field. It doesn't happen on paper. And I think that the Braves, even on paper, as of right now, they've got a lot of pieces in place, especially with the strength of pitching that they have, that gives them more than just some puncher's chance of getting into the postseason and winning series. They showed it in 21, not coming in as a big favorite. You know, they're one of those teams that you talk about, that if you get hot at the right time for 3 weeks out of the year, you can write the incredible ending to your story, and that's still very much out there for the Braves. They haven't given up on that. They haven't given up on the division yet either, but figuring all of this out in light of what they might be able to add at the trade deadline may change the way that we look at it from the outside, but inside the four walls of that clubhouse, not much has changed in terms of the mindset. So if somebody walks in there to help out, they're going to be excited about it. If nobody walks in there, you know, from the trade deadline to help out or to supplement the club, I don't think it's going to change altogether that much. They're not going to feel like they were left stranded on an island with not enough you know, food and water and rations to get through what is to come for the Braves.
Grant, when are you on this weekend, man?
I'll be on from 5 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with From the Diamond. It'll also be available, of course, wherever you get your podcast. Going to unpack the Braves draft class. Also going to have our old friend Chip Carey. He's in town with the Cardinals this weekend. He and I are going to sit down at Truist Park, have a good old conversation, and that will be on the show. 5 to 7 right here on 92.9 The Game on Sunday.
Good stuff, man. Have a great weekend. Let's see what the Braves do, and we'll be talking to you on Monday.
Look forward to it. Have a great weekend, guys.
Take care, G-Mac.
The Phillies, by the way, if you're wondering, are projected to win 101 games. The Braves, 93. Now, with that said, that makes us obviously a playoff team, which we think they are. The strength guys, and nobody would have said this going into the season, 13 wins by Chris Sale. Ronaldo Lopez, 7-3 with a 1.88 ERA, under 2. Max Fried, all-star. 7-5, 3 ERA. I mean, I just think that, to Grant's point, is the strength, and the bullpen's been solid. Need this offense to pick up. Hey, coming up, how many flights were canceled today because of the global technology outage? We'll tell you, and also you'll hear from our buddy B-Mac, Brian McFadden, all things covered coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.